What is our job? That when he shows us the flaws and imperfections in our lives, that we need to deal with those flaws and imperfections to help him so that as he cuts, he can have something to work with. But if we don't deal with the flaws and imperfections in our life, if we just allow the flaws and imperfections of our life to take control, they will ruin us. If you've got a sin that just keeps eating away at you, nagging away at you, here God is chopping it, and God is chinking it, and God is trying to cut you into that shape, and here you are, you're not dealing with that imperfection. God says, deal with that imperfection so I can make you the diamond that I want you to be.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and sister of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Diamond in the Rough, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Diamond in the Rough, Part 2.
You are terrible, not in the negative sense, but in the good sense. Man, there's something, that there's a monster, an animal, and I'm not saying, once again, not from a negative standpoint, but from a positive, in you, that's just waiting to get out. Man, there's something that God has put in you, all this power, and man, it's just waiting to get out for you to go out and make a difference in this world today. And as I think about this thing, if you'll look at your notes today, that there's God's part, and then there's our part. See, when we think about he who hath begun a good work in you. Now, a lot of times, I'm just going to sit back and let God work this thing out. But you know what? We got a part to do, too. Now, before I get to that part, look at this. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to show you something about God. I'm going to show you something about God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? And this is after Saul, he was the king, and he had got out here and disobeyed God, and God was now displeased with him, and God said that he would be removed from the throne. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. What is God looking for? God is looking for a king, right? God is looking for a king. God says, look, not only am I looking for a king, but God said, I already have selected my king. I already know who my king is going to be. Now watch this. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come, when Samuel had called the sons of Jesse, that he looked at on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height or stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are all thy children here? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come here. And he sent, and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and of a beautiful countenance, and handsome. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Now, one more thing. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 42, when David is out there dealing with Goliath. Look at this. But when the Philistine, which is Goliath, looked about, he saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. A youth. Who was this little 13, 14-year-old boy that's coming out here? Does he know who I am? That I am Goliath, the champion of the Philistines? Who is this youth that's coming out? When God picked the king, Samuel thought all these other sons of Jesse was going to be the king. God passed them all over. See, when everybody else, hear this now, hear this. When everybody else saw a child, God saw it. When everybody else saw a child, a youth, God saw a king. And I'm here to tell you that God is looking at you and God sees what you can be. Man might look and say, you're not worth anything. Your mother or your father might be burned out on you and say, you're just going to be just like your uncle or your aunt or your daddy or whoever. You're going to be nothing. God sees a king inside of you. And so when he says, he who has begun this good work. Now, David wasn't the king. There were some things that had to be worked on, but God saw a king. And he was bringing him to that place where he would sit on the throne. He who hath begun a good work in you will get you to the place where he wants you to be. God's part. What is God's part? God designs and he shapes the diamond. That's God's part. God says, look, and I did a little study on diamonds, so I probably never own one or buy one for somebody, so I studied it a little bit. But you know, they're all shapes of diamonds, round ones and triangular ones and different kinds. But God says, look, this is the kind of diamond I want you to be. He said, this is what I've picked out. He told Jeremiah that I called you before the foundations of the world, that God knows the kind of diamond that you want, that he wants you to be. He already knows. In God's mind, he knows what he wants you to be. So what is God's part? God's part is to design the diamond. What is our part? To seek his design for us. It's already laid out. Now you can't design yourself. You can see what God wants you to be, and then you begin to work towards that pattern. What is God's part? God determines the best way to be cut. Now, one thing I did learn about my little study of diamonds is that when there's a diamond in the rough, sometimes there's flaws or imperfections in the diamond, and that if the diamond cutter happens to hit one of those flaws and imperfection, guess what? Whole diamond is shattered, broken, no good, no good. So what does the diamond cutter have to do? The diamond cutter has to see where those flaws and imperfections are, and then he begins to chisel around it, so that, because if he hits it in the wrong spot, it will completely shatter. And God knows for some of us that if he hits us in the wrong spot, if he does the wrong thing, man, that we'll completely shatter and be no more good. But what does he do? He looks at us and sees the best way to cut us. What is our job? That when he shows us the flaws and imperfections in our lives, that we need to deal with those flaws and imperfections to help him so that as he cuts, he can have something to work with. But if we don't deal with the flaws and imperfections in our life, if we just allow the flaws and imperfections of our life to take control, they will ruin us. If you've got a sin that just keeps eating away at you, nagging away at you, here God is. God is chopping it, and God is chinking it, and God is trying to cut you into that shape, and here you are. You're not dealing with that imperfection. God says, deal with that imperfection so I can make you the diamond that I want you to be. What is God's part? God's part is to grind off the rough edges. God's part is once he begins to chip and shape that, there's some rough edges. So he takes his grinder and he begins to grind off those rough edges. What is our part? Our part is to yield to the pressure of the master. You know, I read the story about the teacup last week and how that the teacup was shaped and molded. It was spun on the wheel there, and how that it was put in the oven. And the teacup didn't understand all that was going on. But afterwards, when it stood on the shelf as this beautiful teacup, it realized why it had to go through all the things that it went through. And some of you today, you're wondering why you're going through what you're going through. I remember for years, I used to wonder why God never let me get out of debt. Man, I was in debt when I got out of college. And I continue to be out of debt. Man, I mean, I was faithful, I was tithing, I was giving, and I was still in debt. And one day God spoke to my heart. God said, you know, it's good that you're faithful and you're giving. It's good that you're doing all that. He said, but if I let you out right now, you're not going to learn what I want you to learn. And you're going to be right back in it again. So I'm going to leave you here. I'm going to leave you here. I'm going to keep this pressure on long enough because I want you to know what it feels like to hurt. I want you to know what it feels like to go through discomfort. I want you to know what it feels like to go through pain. And you remember this so that when you get out, you won't come back. And so the master puts this pressure on us. And so what do we need to do? We need to yield to the pressure of the master. And then what is God's part? God's part is to polish us to perfection. And what is our part? Our part is to sharpen our talents for the Lord. If you put up that next slide, how do you develop your God-given talent? If God says, I want you to be this polished diamond, let me share with you a couple things. The first thing, if you're going to sharpen your talent for God, you've got to know God's design for your life. Like I asked the question last week, if I was asking everybody in here right now, let's just stop for a minute. Everybody in here right now, if I ask you what is it that God wants you to be, you ought to be able to tell me. There ought not be, well, let me think about that or go pray about it. No. Unless you're a youth that's still seeking your, no, there shouldn't be any let me go pray, let me go seek God. You've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. For 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, you ought to know what God wants you to do. Now, God might change down the road somewhere, but you ought to know right now what it is that God wants you to do. Reverend Glaze, what is it that God wants you to do? God wants me to stamp out biblical illiteracy by understanding the Word of God, breaking down the Word of God, and teaching other folks how to live by the Word of God. That's my mission. That's why I'm here. For that reason is why I'm here. Now, can you say that? Why are you here? You know, so some of you may be here, you know, as I said last week, for your grandchildren. Maybe that's why God has you here to minister to and build up and encourage your grandchildren. You know, God may have some of you here to serve on a secular job, but to glorify him. Maybe that's why God has you here. You need to know God's design for your life. You need to know what talents you have and fine-tune those talents. I know what gifts I have. Every time I take a spiritual gift test, the number one thing that comes out every time is teaching. So I know what my gifts are. So what do I need to work on refining and making sure I stay sharp for the kingdom? I need to make sure that I continue to study, that I continue to put myself in a place of learning and education. What about you? Are you fine-tuning your gifts? And then you need to set goals in line with God's talent and design. You know, I want to memorize something in every chapter of the Bible. You know, I want to be able to quote this many chapters in the Bible. Set goals in line with the talents and the gifts that God has given you. And then what do you do? you pursue those with all your heart. You go after it with a passion. You go after it like a bulldog holding on to a bone. I mean, you stick your teeth on it and you don't let anything shake you off of that, because you know that that's what God wants you to do. Well, we need to realize we got a part and God got a part. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me just share with you, then I'm going to move on and we're going to wind it down here in a second. What are some things, if you look at your notes, what are some hindrances to perfecting this diamond? What are some three hindrances? First of all, there's self. First of all, there's self. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. And Paul is dealing with this thing with the Galatians, faith versus law, works versus grace, that type of thing. And he says here in verse 3 of Galatians chapter 3, he says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" My. God is doing this work. God is working. And so some people want to get off of God's program and they want to get on their own program and they want to do this thing themselves. Paul said, "You foolish Galatians, something that you began in the spirit, how are you going to finish in the flesh? If it started in the spirit, if it started out by God doing it, let him keep on doing his work. Let God keep on working." A second hindrance to this perfecting of the diamond is what I call stubbornness. Now, we read this passage last week, so I'm not going to look at it again, but the passage is where Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and he looked in the potter's room, and he saw the potter shaping a pot, a vessel on the wheel. Now, the clay can't say to the potter, "Get your hands off me. Don't put pressure on me right there. I don't want to do it this way. Don't put me in that oven. Take me off that wheel." You see, if you're stubborn, then the potter can't mold you and shape you into what he wants you to be. God wants you to be broken. God wants you to be that vessel that will just get on there and just be that lump of clay and just say, "Okay, God, mold me and shape me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. Put me on there." But some of us are stubborn. Some of us are, you know, God wants the shape. He wants the top to be nice and round. He wants it to be like an indentation here, and then it to come back out and come like that. And so God begins to put pressure on that middle part, and we say, get off. I don't want to have an indent. I want to be a straight vessel. You know, and so we're stubborn. And then the third thing that hinders the perfecting of this diamond is sin. The third thing that hinders the perfecting of this diamond is sin. Look at Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 5. God says in verse 1, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He dug it and gathered the stones and planted it with the choice vine and built a tower in the midst of it and made a wine press for it. He looked for it to bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes." God said, "Look, I did everything that I could so that this vineyard would be the most productive vineyard that ever came along." He said, "I dug it." He said, "I took out the stones." He said, "I planted the choicest vine." He said, "I built a tower to protect it. I also made a wine press that was close by." He said, "I wanted to bring forth good grapes," and it brought forth, the Hebrew says, stinky fruit. God wants to design you to be a diamond polished for the master's use. But we allow sin to come in our lives, and it defiles what it is that God is trying to do. Look what he says in verse 3. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and the vineyard. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done? Why, when I look for it to bring forth grapes, that it brought forth stinky fruit? God says, what could I have done more to shape this diamond? What more could I have done to shape this diamond the way that I wanted it to be shaped? And when I wanted that perfect diamond, you brought forth a flawed diamond. These three things hinder the perfection of the diamond. And as I close this morning, the third point is the perfection. The perfecter of the diamond, the perfecting of the diamond, now the perfection of the diamond. Notice what he says here. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. He will perform it. It's interesting in this passage, Paul uses two words, the word begun and the word perform. Those two words were used in the beginning and the ending of a sacrifice. The word begun referred to a person collecting the wood, collecting the animal, and putting it in order on the altar. The word begun. That's the word that was used, erko amai. The other word that's used is epitelestai, which actually means the completion of the sacrifice. Paul uses those two words in this passage. He said, he who hath begun the sacrifice will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. Experts say the value of a diamond is determined by four C's: carat, clarity, color, and cut. These four things. Look at your life as we give this invitation today. The carat deals with the weight of the diamond. In Colossians 1:10, Paul said that believers should be weighty. He said, walk worthy. That word worthy means weighty. That means have some weight. Are you having some weight? Are you having some influence in somebody's life today? Is your life making a difference? If God is bringing you to a place of completion, then you should be making a difference in somebody's life. There should be some weight about your life. You should be weighing in on somebody's life. The value of a diamond, the carat. The second thing is the clarity, and this deals with the absence of defects. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24, it says that Christ is looking for a church without what? Spot or blemish. God is looking for people without spot or blemish. Oh, I wish I had time to get into this thing this morning, but y'all go home and study these verses out. Color. Now, the experts say that the more rare the color, the more valuable the diamond. Job, it said of Job that there was not a man found like him in all the earth. God is looking for a person that's rare, not unique in the sense where he's better than other people, but God is just looking for a rare person. He's looking for a rare individual. Are you a rare person? When God put one of his saints on trial before Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. Would God put you on Front Street like that? Would God put you on Front Street like that? Have you considered my servant Bill? There's nobody like him in all the earth. Oh, that's kind of scary when you think about that. The diamond, rare, rarity. And then finally, the cut. A diamond is valued by the shape and the quality of the workmanship. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are God's workmanship, created under Christ Jesus, under good works. God is the craftsman. And if we will yield to him, he will produce quality workmanship.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Gospel According to You, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Diamond in the Rough, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Diamond in the Rough, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Diamond in the Rough, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060 at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.